divorce. Even thinking about getting a divorce can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker. Today we're talking about figuring out what divorce is going to mean for your finances. Now, that sounds like it should be a kind of a mathematical, numerical analysis, but it's really hard to separate finances from the emotions. And there's so many financial fears, such as not wanting to change your lifestyle, having to go back to work, worrying about maybe making your next career move, not being able to afford to live in your current town or your current home. All of those fears often keep people in a troubled marriage and stop them from moving forward. And if they know that their marriage is ending, those fears can also bring negotiations to a halt or really derail any sort of settlement discussions that are going on. Fears, however, are false evidence appearing real. It means that if you're afraid of something, it's often an indicator that you don't have enough information and you need to do more research. And that brings me to my guest. Joining me today is Russ Luna. Russ is a certified divorce financial analyst. Welcome, Russ.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad you were able to join us. Russ is with the Denver-based firm of Luna Financial Advisors. Now, I think certified divorce financial analysts, or CDFA, as they are also known, are magicians. They'll drive you crazy asking for this statement, this value, what you spend on this and what you spend on that. And then they wave the magic wands and there's this picture of what the future beholds for you. So they really are a great person to have on your team when you're going through divorce. Now, I thought to help us understand a little bit more about what CDFAs do, we'd start talking about some scenarios where I've seen them in action. So let's start with one scenario here. Let's take a couple in their late 40s, two kids. Wife feels that the marriage has been troubled for a very long time. She's never seen divorce as an option, but lately has started to consider it. She doesn't think their problems are going to get any better, and she really doesn't want to, she can't imagine living the rest of her life the way that they're living right now. However, they have a very comfortable lifestyle. She is the primary breadwinner. Her husband has a steady job. They have two kids, lovely home, retirement savings are building, and they have college funds. They've been doing everything right. But if they get divorced, it probably means they have to split everything. And that certainly means the end. And the wife is worried that it means the end of their comfortable lifestyle. Before she starts talking about divorce, and really sort of making that move, she wants to make sure that she's being realistic. So Russ, she gives you a call. What can you do to help her?
What I do to help people like that is I ask them to bring in their financial documents, any reports for their retirement plans. I ask them to bring in their tax returns. And once I start looking at the financial documents, I also like to get a good idea as to the type of lifestyle that they're living. And that will be a very big role when it comes to looking at the maintenance or the support issues for either party, as well as the impact that it will have on the children and the division of the assets. So that is basically what I do when somebody first comes in to me, is to look at all that documentation, and I begin asking them questions as I start to uncover or see more of what they have and if there are any large disparities between the husband and wife.
So what is the end result of all that?
The end result will be to make a suggestion or recommendation to the client as far as how they might want to approach the division of the assets and what they will probably be expecting, either paying out the maintenance or support, or what they might be looking at as far as receiving maintenance or support.
So does that mean that you can give them a realistic assessment of how divorce might impact their current lifestyle?
Absolutely. I help them set the expectations, or I set the expectations for them, to say that now that you no longer have the dual income within one household, now there are two households that need to be supported. And with their own income, and if it's the major breadwinner, their income is going to decrease because they're probably going to have to pay maintenance to their spouse, to their former spouse. And so all of the things that they used to like to do or enjoy, they may not be able to do all of those things that they once did. So I help them with realizing what that expectation or what it's going to look like, what their life and lifestyle is going to look like post-divorce.
So then your client is in a position to say, I'm not ready to make these changes to my lifestyle yet. I think I'll stay where I am. Or say, I got it. I understand what this is going to mean to us financially. And I still think that the marriage can't be saved, and I still want to go ahead with it.
They certainly might delay their decision on the divorce. However, once I look at their financial picture, I will be able to help them if they are wavering and maybe not thinking they might not quite be ready, but looking at the financial picture, often I can get very creative with them to say, it's not the end of the world. There will be some changes, definitely. However, with what you currently have, what your income is, here is the lifestyle that you can still, that you can still enjoy. Oftentimes, there might be a way in utilizing some of those assets to begin producing some sort of income to them to help supplement what they might have lost going through the divorce.
Can you give me an example?
Certainly. If the clients have, let's say that they have some stocks and bonds and things of that nature. Well, there could be some things that we could use, such as putting more of the stocks over into bonds and have the bonds start paying income to the client. There could be a situation in which they own some property someplace, making a suggestion of selling that property, they may not have to pay. There might be a possibility they won't have to pay taxes on that. And the gains that they made, they can use that money, again, to be placed into an income-producing asset, again, helping supplement the decrease that they realize going through the divorce.
Right. So, Russ, can anybody throughout the U.S. use your services, or is this something that you could help people who are residents in Colorado and people who are in other states would have to find a CDFA in their own state?
I can help anybody across the United States.
Okay. So you're not, yeah. So, then do you end up often working hand in hand with attorneys so that you can understand what the state's, that particular state's laws are relative to, say, spousal support or child support?
A lot of the time, I do work collaboratively with the attorney as well as the client. And that team approach is really appreciated by the client as well, because they can see how their team is working for them and in their best interest. So it really works well if we can all collaborate and have the attorney, talking to me back and forth, and we can exchange ideas and strategies that they can use in talking to opposing counsel and, you know, and ex-spouses.
And trying to create a win-win. So I have another scenario for you. Let's say we've got husband and wife, two teenage kids, and I'm going to say husband is the primary breadwinner. He has a well-established career. He's well-compensated. Wife has been a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. Now, these roles could be, I don't mean to be stereotypical or gender specific, and they could easily be reversed, but I'm still seeing a lot of people in that sort of setup. They're getting divorced. There's a settlement offer on the table. The attorneys on both parties agree that it's within the range of what the law provides, but the wife is very nervous. She knows that once the divorce is final, it's final, and there's no going back for more money. She realizes she's going to have to go back to work. She's actually quite excited about that because the kids are going off to college soon and she knows she's going to have more time. But she's also scared. She's paid the bills, but her husband is the one who's always handled all of the financial arrangements. Like, you know, how much should they spend on a house? How much they should be putting in their 401k? And if she hired you, how would you help her?
What we do for our clients, what I do for my clients, in situations like that, I put together what is called a lifestyle analysis. I agree with you. I mean, not to be so stereotypical, but a lot of times one of the spouses does take on the responsibility to stay at home and take care of the children and run them back and forth to soccer practice and you know, whatever else the children are involved with. When that happens, that spouse begins to fall back as far as any employment skills. Maybe they had a degree, they do have a degree, but they're not using it.
Right.
And so as a result, they start falling back, not only in their skill ability, but being competitive in the workplace. And being able to land a job that perhaps their degree would have qualified them for. So through the lifestyle analysis, we will take a vocational look at the client. We will look to see what are their skill sets today. So there might have been 10, 15, 20 years that has gone by, and now their skill set is diminished or very limited. So as we look at that, one of the things that we take into consideration is something called imputed income. And what the imputed income looks at is the age of the client, again, their skill set, their education. It takes a look at the whole person, and at an older age, let's say they're maybe in their 50s at this point, well, they may not be able to get a very competitive job, so the lifestyle analysis is a fantastic tool that we show the opposing counsel, or we take that into court and show the courts that this person is now limited as far as what they can make. As a result, the division of the assets not necessarily being equal, but trying to make it equitable. The lifestyle analysis may allow that person to either have a little bit more maintenance and support paid to them or a larger division of the assets. So this is a very, very valuable tool that we use quite often in my firm and in our office.
And then does it help them figure out what their lifestyle is actually going to be?
It does. It does. Again, it helps set the expectation.
Kind of like what size home they could buy, what size house they could buy, or whether they should be renting, and what location might work for them, and how their salary would, you know, if they could still contribute to a retirement plan.
Yes, all of those factors. We take a look at, you know, the city, the community that they live in. You know, what type of home might they be able to purchase? The other thing is that how would they go about making the purchase? Taking a look at maybe how much money should they put down on the house?
Right.
What type of a mortgage should they be looking at? You know, is this one that maybe the mortgage could be paid off very quickly, or is this one where we just try to establish the lowest mortgage payment for them to help them have more cash flow?
Right. And that sounds really helpful. Are you working for one party, or do you ever get hired to work as a neutral to advise both parties so that both parties don't have to do this work?
Yes. Today, there are a lot of people that don't want to utilize an attorney. And if they're on good terms with each other, then I can work as a financial neutral, again, taking the same approach that I would with one person. This time I just do it with both, and make recommendations as far as how they might want to divide the assets. Again, if one of the parties has always worked, they've been contributing to their retirement plan, the other one has no retirement plan and hasn't worked. So how do we go about dividing that 401k? There is something that is called a QDRO, QDRO, which is called a Qualified Domestic Relations Order. With that, we can take a portion of that 401k and move that over to the other person without them incurring any kind of income tax on
it. Right.
So yes, I help guide them and coach them through the process and the approach and strategies that, again, each one will be able to benefit, and try to make it as much of a win-win that we possibly can.
So then all of your reports that you're producing is like, you're very transparent in all your conversations, and you share the work product with both parties so that they both have the same information. So that it kind of levels the playing field.
Definitely. Right. Yeah. When you're working with a pro se couple, you have to be as transparent as you possibly can, and to speak at a level that you're not speaking over their head, that each party understands. Again, if one of the parties has always handled the finances, the other one might not fully understand everything. So I need to make sure that I am speaking to them in terms that both parties will understand.
Right, right. Well, Russ, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. Listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about what divorce will mean for your finances with certified divorce financial analyst Russ Luna. Russ is with the Denver-based firm of Luna Financial Advisors. Now, we've been talking about different scenarios where a CDFA, a Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, could help. Russ, I'm wondering if you could give us, is there any way you could give us an idea, like how many hours does it take to do this sort of analysis? Or I know that might be a bit of a difficult question. I'm imagining it would kind of depends on the size of the net worth, but is there a minimum net worth that people should have before they work with a CDFA, and how long should they plan on this process taking?
Well, if there really are not many assets to be discussed or fought over, if they're fighting, there may not necessarily be a need for a divorce professional. However, once, you know, again, not to necessarily put a dollar amount on it, we help people with all, with various size net worths, and sometimes there's just a house and trying to figure out with regard to an IRA here, a checking and a savings account, something of that nature. Sometimes people need a little coaching to figure out how to approach that, because going through the divorce, it is such an emotional process. And sometimes they feel as though they can't even think clearly.
Right.
People with more assets definitely would probably need more coaching, more assistance with the divorce professional to really look at tax aspects of the investments, of the income. What does the support provide for them as far as the lifestyle? The other considerations might be, in what form would they want the support paid? Now, we've had to become very creative with some of our clients. One example is that a client, the husband, built a very successful commercial real estate business, owns lots of buildings, and the maintenance for the wife was going to be about $30,000 a month. Now, with that puts them in that puts the wife in a very high tax bracket, the highest tax bracket out there right now.
Sorry, Russ, tell me that maintenance figure again.
$30,000 a month.
Wow.
So, working with the attorney and trying to come up with a creative settlement, we offered to put the office buildings into a holding company. And we had the wife as one of the partners, the ex-husband as the other partner. However, what she is going to receive is a little less of a maintenance, but the thing is, because the money with her as a partner, it's coming to her in the form of a capital gain, which is at a 20% tax level instead of 39.6, the highest. So we're cutting her taxes in half.
So that's a really good, that's a great example of how you can bring a creative solution into the discussions. So I have another scenario for you. When you mentioned the husband in your case, in that last example, had a business, the scenario I wanted to talk about was, let's say we've got husband and wife, kids are adult and grown, out of the house. Wife runs her own business. It's a very successful business. Husband is a school teacher. He's been a school teacher for 30 years. Wife's a civil engineer. It's a home construction business. Solid reputation, well known throughout town. But husband knows that she does a lot of cash deals and she runs a lot of expenses through her business. So he thinks that on paper, the business looks like it makes a lot less than it actually does. Plus, since they've been talking about divorce, she's been telling him that since he has his pension, there's no way that he should be expecting spousal support. He's had this nice, easy, cushy job while she's been working really hard, putting in long hours to get her business established. And she's saying, you know what? I'm thinking I might even slow down now, take on fewer projects. So husband's a bit panicked about this because he is used to their lifestyle. He doesn't know what to make of it. He's worried that she's hiding assets from him. And he turns to you for help. What can you help him in this case?
Definitely. We find that quite often, that someone who does own a business it is very easy for someone to hide assets, to shelter income. And so, when, again, through a lifestyle analysis, looking to see how is this person, even though on paper they're showing company, you know, not as profitable as you thought, well, then how is it that you can live this and maintain a certain lifestyle? Mm-hmm. So again, in taking a big picture, not just the financial, but what are some of the behaviors? What types of things does this person do? Oh, they eat out a lot and a lot of high-end restaurants. So working with the husband, we're able to do some forensic work to see exactly how the money is being hidden or funneled through the business. And this is where the expertise of a professional like myself knows how to look and where to look for some of these hidden assets. Most definitely, I can help that person.
And what do you do with that information when you have it?
Well, that's when we take that to the attorney and say, you know what? The other party is not giving full disclosure, and here are the discrepancies, what I have been able to uncover. So it becomes a very strong bargaining tool, because if the case does go to court, the court is going to see exactly what this person is doing to hide some of the money and not be, and not offer full disclosure as to, what they're truly making out of the company.
Right. But in an ideal world, you would present the information to your client's attorney. Client's attorney would go to the opposing attorney and saying, this is what we think is going on. And there'd be some negotiation back and forth. And ideally, you would resolve that in a settlement without it having to go to trial.
Absolutely.
Right. So I've got one more scenario for you, Russ. And so far, you're doing really good on this test. And I know that I've kind of sprung these scenarios on you. So let's say about 18 months ago, wife discovers that husband's been having an affair with a woman in another state. It's not the first time he's had an affair, but she says, this is it. I'm done. I'm not going to have my marriage. I'm not prepared to stay in a marriage like this anymore. She pays all the bills, so she knows exactly what accounts they have, and she's been seeing all the statements all along. But as she's starting to gather the stuff for her attorney, she starts to pay more attention to some of the accounts and like the brokerage accounts, and she notices some of the balances are lower, like a lot lower. And she can see withdrawals, but she doesn't know where that money's gone. And she's panicking. She's thinking like he is shifting assets around. He's hiding them. He's burning through money. And this is the future that they've worked really hard for. And she's panicked. And so she calls you. What can you do to help her in this situation?
We can start to begin to build a paper trail. With that paper trail, we can start to identify where this money is going. Through an audit, through some forensic detective work, we can see exactly where this money is going. We've uncovered statements that have been altered or doctored up a little bit. We are able to show the court or the opposing counsel that the husband is dissipating assets, and the dissipation of assets can have some pretty strong penalties.
Right.
One of those penalties that person might not quite understand, and again, when I say penalty, it would be that more assets come divorce are going to be shifted over to her side. So if he's been dissipating assets on a girlfriend in another state, maybe it's a girlfriend in Las Vegas, whatever it might be. Well, when it comes to the divorce and they have to sell the house, the wife might probably get more of the gains out of the house. Or his retirement plan, she might end up getting his entire retirement plan. So even though he's thinking he's being sneaky and crafty about it, once we start doing our analysis and dig into this, this is where our client benefits from our services, is through the identification of this, and then start to say, here are the bargaining tools, here's how we're going to approach this, here's how, if we need to, play more hardball, and then my client is going to benefit a lot more through, you know, his underhandedness.
Right. So how far back can you go?
Generally, what we'll do is go back about 3 years.
Okay.
If we need to go back a little bit more, we do. If we go back a little bit more, what we're trying to look for is some sort of a pattern. The pattern might be that maybe over the last 5 years or 10 years, vacations started to get better. Maybe this person works salary, gets paid bonuses, gets paid a commission. Well, how has the income begun to increase? How is he living? How has that changed? How are their vacations changing? All of these things, setting a pattern, will begin to help us. But we really want to see the most recent, you know, what they were doing 5 and 10 years ago.
And are you able to?
It does matter, but we want to see where they are today. And a 1 to 3 year time frame gives us that most current picture.
And are you able to? I'm thinking sometimes, Russ, this just might not be worth the money that you're going to spend on researching this and doing the analysis and doing the detective work. May not be worth it if the assets are gone or there isn't the money in the net worth to be able to distribute it. Are you able to do kind of like a cost benefit analysis for the client and say, you know, we could go back, but it's really not going to be cost effective for us to do this?
Well, if most of the assets have been dissipated, then about the only bargaining tool would probably be through a higher maintenance payout to the spouse.
Right.
So that if he's spent it all on the girlfriend, well, then over a period of time, we'll run the calculation, what we call a present value to that, and then attach that figure, and that will tell us how much additional he will have to pay over a certain period of time for the wife to recoup some of those assets that she lost. Would she get all of it? Maybe not, but at least it's a little better scenario than what she would have had otherwise.
Right. So, Russ, those responses to my scenarios that I've sprung on you, you've been really helpful there. Is there a point where it's really too late for somebody to hire you? At what point should they be thinking about hiring? Should someone who's contemplating divorce think about hiring a CDFA?
Well, as you did say, in an ideal world, if someone has been thinking or contemplating that they're just not happy in this marriage, in the relationship anymore, and they want to move on, I'm able to give them a picture of what that might look like. So if they are even considering or begin to have those types of thoughts, give me a call. Come on into the office. Initial consultation is free. We can discuss your situation. I can give you, off of that first consultation, somewhat of an idea what that would look like to you.
Right.
But I have met with clients in all the stages of the divorce. Some of it right up front, some of it, you know, almost at the end, where the attorney will bring me in and paint the scenario to me. And then, again, I help them build a strategy as to how do they want to, approach this divorce, even though it's down to the 11th hour.
Right.
I get brought in at all stages. I've been called as the attorney is driving to court and asking, various tax questions and would it be prudent for them to, present this to the court and what are the implications? So I've done it all from, so it doesn't matter.
Right. But sounds like the sooner the better.
Most definitely.
Right. Well, Russ, thank you so much for joining us today.
I've really enjoyed it. This has been a lot of fun. And with me being an advisor for over 30 years, I certainly have a lot of experience. Sometimes I think that, I've seen it all. I've seen a lot. Not sure if I've seen it all, but but it has been a joy to spend this time with you, and I look forward to another opportunity.
Great. Thank you, Russ. This is my guest today was certified divorce financial analyst Russ Luna with the Denver-based firm Luna Advisors. You can reach Russ at 800-598-6848. That's 800-598-6848. And at his website, lunafinancialadvisors.com. And I'll put the link for that in the show description. I hope today you've gotten a good idea of how confronting your fears about finances could help you move through this transition, making the best decisions for you as you go along. I think certainly, our instincts with divorce is to self-isolate, but divorce is not a go-it-alone situation. And having a certified divorce financial analyst, a CDFA, on your team would really help you, especially if you've got complex financial assets or if you are not very financially literate and you need some expertise because you know that you need help making these decisions. I want to thank you for listening today. I'm Mandy Walker. You'll find a wealth of divorce-related information at my website, sincemydivorce.com, including a free audio download on deciding if divorce is right for you. It's under the free stuff, and I'll include the link to that in the show description as well. Thank you again. I hope you'll join us again next time for more conversations about divorce.